is where I'd like to take you. Amen. For the just what I got, three verses I'd like you to stand for. Acts 26, beginning at verse number 27, it says this: King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Get this now. I know that thou believest. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, would both almost and altogether, such as I am, accept these bonds. My topic today is very, very simple. In fact, it's not a new thought. It is this. Almost. Someone say almost.
Almost.
Just really close. Almost persuaded. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even now, that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that all things, Lord, would be in your hand. They are in your hand. Lord, I ask your will to be accomplished here in this service. Lord, I pray your anointing, Lord, upon the words that I would say. Put words in my mouth. Lord, keep me, God, in your hand. Help me, Lord, to obey your voice. And Lord, let each of us, Lord, receive of this word, your word about you, that I would be altogether persuaded in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. King Agrippa, by Paul's own testimony, he stated that he was a believer in what the prophets had said. Amen. But King Agrippa, again by his own testimony, was almost someone, at least one person, again, say almost. Almost persuaded to be a Christian. He was that, man, he was so close. Almost is okay in some things. If you come in close with some things, I've heard it said with hand grenades and horseshoes, if you get real close, that's good. But when it comes to your walk with God, when it comes to what the Lord has for your life, almost is not good enough. I don't want to be almost persuaded. I don't want to be almost a Christian. You see, multitudes, many thousands of people, whole countries persuaded to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. He was a great speaker of Jesus, convinced many to follow after the Lord. Acts chapter 18, and he, it's referring to Paul here, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He did it very often. He did it for the Jews. He did it for the Greeks, for every kind, every people, everyone he would meet, he would persuade them of Jesus Christ. Acts 19, verse 26. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Paul is saying, no more idols. Yeah, no more false gods. No more statues. All of that is false. All of that is not real. Jesus is the Almighty God. Now, don't misunderstand. The power of persuasion was not in Paul's charisma, nor was it in the strength of his speaking. It was not in his formidable presence. It wasn't because he was famous. It wasn't because of any other earthly characteristic. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 2 to 4. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Man, it's a good thing that we don't have to depend on the power of a man. Men are weak. Even strong men are weak. They got faults. They fail. They have weaknesses. They don't know everything. But when we depend on the power of Jesus Christ, when we have the power of God that is demonstration, that is demonstrated in our lives, amen, there is something supernaturally powerful. Power to persuade. I am convinced that Jesus Christ is God. Not because of my book learning. Not because just I've read the Bible. But because I know what God did for me. Amen. I know. I am fully and altogether persuaded by what God did in my life, that He is the mighty God. Amen. It was Paul's message, the power of the gospel, that persuaded both men and women to come to Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the power or of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I tell you, this Jesus that I know is for everyone. It's for every person. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. If you're rich, if you're poor, if you're uneducated, if you're very educated, doesn't matter your social structure or standing. It doesn't matter if you're unknown or if you're famous. It doesn't matter if you live here or there. It doesn't matter what nation, what color, what creed, what race. It doesn't matter. None of that even matters, because all of us need to know who Jesus is. You see, the gospel, it is the preaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Obedience to the gospel is repentance for sin. That is a type of death. It's water baptism for the remission of sins. It's a type of burial. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's a type of the resurrection from the dead. Amen. King Agrippa was not fully persuaded. You almost persuade me to be a Christian, he said. You see, obviously, Agrippa saw a great deal of reason for Christianity. He had a great desire to meet Jesus, to see some miracle done by Jesus. He had a great desire to understand more about him. He could see what the prophets said and how that Jesus was fulfilling that. He understood what the prophets said. He believed what the prophets said. His understanding and judgment were for the time, he was for a time convinced. But his heart was not changed. I think there's a whole lot of people. There are many people in his day and in our day that are like King Agrippa. They know there's a God. It's good to know God. It's good to honor God. It's good for people to follow God. But they're not fully persuaded. King Agrippa was not persuaded by his own admission. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It's Acts 26, verse 28. Obviously, he saw a lot, knew a lot, wanted to know more. His understanding and judgment was biased. It was influenced by what he saw and what he knew of the prophets and what he saw in Jesus. But he was not quite persuaded. So close. So close. He could see the truth. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what the prophets said. A religious writer from years gone by, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he wrote, "To be almost persuaded to be a Christian is like the man who was almost pardoned, but he was hanged." He was so close. Or the man who was almost rescued, but he drowned. A man who is almost saved is damned. Oh, close is not good enough. Many come under strong conviction. I know that when the power and the presence of the Lord is moving and I can feel His presence sweeping in our services and there is such an anointing of the power of God that every person there realizes and feels the presence of the Lord. Without exception, everybody is feeling the presence of God. But that's not enough to feel that presence. It's not enough. Many are convinced that the ways of God are correct. Yet they never fully embrace God's ways. It is never too early to become a Christian. I know little children who have had and are living an experience with God. Amen. For many years, I participated in junior camp. And man, I've seen over those years, hundreds of young people get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids that are weeping and praising and being filled with the Holy Ghost, just having a wonderful experience with God. It's never too early to have an experience with God. But the time will come when it will be too late. Amen. In some instances, hesitation is prudence. In other times, hesitation can be fatal. God has promised forgiveness when we repent. He really does forgive our sins. He wants to forgive us our sins. He desires for us just to ask Him for forgiveness, and He will forgive you. It's an established it's a principle that God cannot, will not ever break. He wants you to repent. And when you repent, He forgives. That's a promise from God. But God did not promise you tomorrow. It's not a promise that covers procrastination. I'm not guaranteed to live to sundown. I have good expectations of living much longer. In fact, I'd like to see my great-grandchildren get married. That's some years from now. Amen. I have every intention of being around to see that wonderful sight. Amen. I want to be there. Amen. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We need to be ready for God right now. We need to live for God today. It may be dangerous and a fatal presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. God wants us to live for Him right now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to live for the Lord. The state of being almost persuaded to Christianity could very well be eternally fatal. Almost persuaded is far from altogether persuaded. There's a very big difference. A person who is almost persuaded is still completely lost. Completely. Man, I got to be totally persuaded in Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I remember reading a story. It was about a severe winter storm that it blanketed the Northeast. Winter advisories were issued by the National Weather Service. The public had been urged not to venture out, to stay in your homes. The roads were considered closed. Unless it was an extreme emergency or emergency vehicles only. A Boston man who believed that he had enough knowledge and driving skills and he was prepared for the snow and he decided to go out in hopes of finding an open store. Sometimes you got to think, we don't really think. If it's storming, blizzard outside, you might have to do without bread and milk tonight. Stay home. Well, this guy wanted to go to the store. He did. And in his effort to return home, the snow wasn't getting less. It was getting heavier. It was intensifying. It was getting worse. It was a complete whiteout. You couldn't see the road. You couldn't see the curb. You couldn't see where you were. It was a totally white out. Unable to go another foot. His car stuck in the snow. He pulled to the side of the road as best that he could, and he spent the night there in his car in sub-zero temperatures, below zero, wind blowing, snow covering everything. He almost died. He didn't, thank the Lord. He didn't die in this story. But the next morning, when he finally was able to get out of his car, he had pulled off the road in front of his house. Almost there. But he didn't even know it. We don't know how close we are to home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Praise the Lord. I want to make it home. Amen. I want to make it to heaven. Amen. Now I know I've studied the Word of God. I'm all about, I like understanding what the Word of God says. But the Lord could come anytime He chooses. Amen. I want to be ready for the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. We all, every one of us, at some time, at some point, we were almost persuaded. Until you crossed that line. I believe. I obey. We were all almost lost. Every one of us. A sinner in sin. Lost without God. Amen. If it had not been for the Lord delivering me from sin, I'm convinced I would be just like all those other examples of people that I know that chose not to live for God. I would be just like them. Amen. But thank the Lord, He saved me. Amen. Thank the Lord that I can serve Him. Amen. My soul was almost doomed for an eternity without God. Do you remember the day? I'm sure you do. Do you remember the time, the place, the event? Do you remember what it was like? Do you remember the details when you repented of your sins? When you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when you spoke with tongues, when you spoke in another language that you did not learn, worshiping the Lord, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, I could talk for a long time on those experiences. It's been a long time ago. I was 12 when I was baptized, but I could tell you the whole story. Amen. Or 11. 12 and I received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that was 50 years ago. Oh my goodness, that's a long time. That was a long time ago. But it's just as clear and as vivid in my mind as it was the day that it took place. It is something that is embedded in who I have become. Amen. It is something supernaturally powerful. An experience with God that will never die. Amen. What if you hadn't met that believer in the store that day? What if that family member hadn't come to the Lord, then persuaded you to follow him? Anybody else had a family member pray for them? Amen. I had family members praying for me when I was lost and in the world and in sin. I had family members drawing me, oh, come on out here and visit. You'll love the church. Come on over. What if that person hadn't knocked on that door that day to tell them about Jesus Christ? Amen. We were all almost lost. Every one of us. Several factors work together in the salvation of a soul. First, the drawing of the power of the Spirit of God. God is drawing us unto himself. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. God is drawing us unto himself. God wants you to know him. God wants you to find him. Second thing is the prayers of the people of God. When you pray, God hears your prayer. Amen. Brother Joel did an excellent job today. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Keep praying. I used to think it was so redundant. But my mom, who was very, very faithful to church, she brought me wintertime, summertime, raining time. And we didn't have a car. We walked to church most of the time. Once in a while we got a ride, but most of the time we walked. And she was very, very faithful. Amen. I used to push my mom to church in a wheelchair. Down to the end of the block, down about four blocks that way and two blocks that way. And we'd make our way to church walking. Amen. The prayers, my mom would say, pray, you know, prayer request time. The custom in that church was people would raise their hands and they'd have prayer requests all over the building. Service after service, time after time, day after day, week after week, year after year. Pray for my family. Pray for my family. Pray for my family. Here I am. I am her family. Living for God, you know, 60 years later. Amen. Prayers never die. Prayers keep going on. God heard those prayers. Amen. I'm thankful for people that prayed for me. Amen. Keep praying for your loved ones. And the third and the most important factor is our willingness to respond. Unless we are willing to respond, the first two factors, the fact that God wants you to live for him, the fact that people are praying for us. Unless we are willing to respond, the first two factors are rendered powerless and ineffective without a response. That's right. God's desire to have you be saved, coupled with the prayers of godly people, can do nothing if you choose not to respond. It's your choice if you will live for God or not. Nobody can make you serve the Lord. You are going to serve the Lord because you want to, or you will not serve the Lord. It's that crisp and clear. It's that simple. Psalm 94, verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. On judgment day, Christ will divide those accepted from those rejected. To those on his right hand, he will say, "Enter thou into my rest." To those on the left hand, he will say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Those on the left, they will argue with God. It's not a very fruitful effort, my friend. You're not going to win in an argument with God. But they will argue their case. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?'" You don't have to convince God how good you are. God already knows how good you are. Or how good you're not. If you've chosen to follow him, or if you refused. Two verses later from that Matthew 22, verse number 24 in Matthew chapter 27, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I don't want to be almost persuaded. God's desire for me is to be altogether persuaded. Totally convinced that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Man, it's got to have a personal note to it. Not that Jesus is God, although he is. But he's got to be my God. I have to serve him. Amen. You know, God has better things in store for me than I could have ever done on my own. God will bring you places you didn't even know you could go. Amen. God will bless your life in a greater fashion than you ever thought was possible. Hebrews 6, verse number 9. "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." You see, my most valued experience in life, the greatest treasure I possess, is my personal experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. All other facets of my life become insignificant in compared with my relationship with God. It is the best choice that I have ever made in my whole life, was to live for Jesus. Amen. It influenced and affects every other aspect of my life. The Apostle Paul, he asked the question in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Salvation is more than joining a church. It really is. It's more than signing a card. It's more than walking to the front and shaking the preacher's hand. It's more than that. there has been, in recent times, a resurgence in drive-in churches. Remember COVID times? People driving in to a parking lot in the mall or somewhere. You're not going to be saved by honking your horn. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah, that's good. Beep, beep, beep. Man, I want to have more of a relationship than what I can get from the backside of the parking lot. Amen. Salvation begins with obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 hangs on our wall right there. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Tells us what to do. Now it tells us why. For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's so simple. It's contained in a single verse. Amen. And yet, so many in our world just go right on past and keep on living like they want to live. Keep on doing what they want to do. And they're like this king. It's like this ruler that was almost persuaded. Repentance starts with a sense of feeling sorry for the sin in your life. There's more too. To purpose in your heart to turn away from sin. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse number 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repenting is a changing of your mind. It's asking God to forgive you, yes. But it's also a turning around. It's turning from sin, turning from your own carnal control, and letting God lead you. And letting God cover that sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I like this part. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. When I am in Jesus Christ, amen, I think differently. I live differently. I walk differently. I dress differently. I am different than I was. I'm not the same guy. Amen. The second element of Bible salvation, this water baptism, it has to be in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Nobody else. Nobody was baptized in the whole Bible in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not one time. Amen. I've heard of people, oh, I'll give you my truck. I'll give you $1,000 if you can show me. You know, it's pointless because it's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible is anybody baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Not a single time. The name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything points to Jesus. Amen. The name that is above every other name. The name of our Lord and Savior, our God and King, is Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's as simple as it is in a single verse. It's got to be in Jesus' name. Water baptism remits, pays for our sin. That simple act of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, after you believe, you have faith in God, you've repented, and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is how the name of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. That sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross at Calvary, the cost of redemption was placed upon Him. His iniquity was on Him. Our sins are on Him. When we are baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. By that act, He remits, pays for our sin. And ye shall. Someone say shall. Man, that's a comforting word to me. It means absolutely. It's sure. It's not a maybe or might or sometimes or a few folks. It's everybody needs to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This gift is for you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. In fact, musicians, come on, I'm wrapping this up. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. To whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The Old Testament prophets were telling that about what was going to happen. With stammering lips and another tongue. Amen. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Joel was saying there's going to be a day when everybody can have this gift. There's going to be a day that everybody can have the presence of God in your life. It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. It gives me hope. Amen. The Old Testament prophets were telling about it. Acts chapter 2, and verse, there in verse number 1. Stand with me, would you? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When God fills you with His Spirit, your body literally becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's God's best gift that He has ever given.
Amen. That's right.
There is no better gift that anyone or anything on earth. Amen. I want to be altogether persuaded. Amen. Would you join me? Would you lift your hands? We're about to open this altar. I ask you to pray. Seek God's face and find His ways. And if you've got this hidden little corner in the side or the back of your conscience that you've been withholding from God, you know what? Let's just give it to the Lord. Let's just praise and worship Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with everything that is within us. Let everything, let all those that have breath praise the Lord. Amen. If you're breathing, worship God. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I am. am persuaded. Love the Lord with me. Would you? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Let's worship the Lord.